Skinny fries.
What's up, buddy?
What's up? How are you?
I am still great. I feel like it's been forever since we talked.
Ages.
It's been so long. You have switched into a tank top and back into a t-shirt. That's how long it's been.
Ironically, same shirt I was wearing last week.
I know. Me too. Same color, same theme, same lighting. I mean, we are right on point in
uniforms,
recreating the environment that we're in.
Dialed in.
Yeah. So, all right, man. So I know, like, I've been thinking a lot about kind of show topics and stuff. And one of the things that we had kind of come up with to talk about, and I really would love for you to talk about it on this episode, deals around sports. So we're in that time of year right now where March Madness is coming to an end. Baseball is just kicking off. The NBA season's almost wrapping up and going into playoffs. NHL is in the same boat. NFL is, you know, off season, which oftentimes is more fun to watch than the regular season with the who's going where and for how much and why and how.
Yeah.
But it got me thinking, like, what's the skinny on why sports is life?
Well, I think we got to start off by acknowledging that football is life.
Sports are life.
Sports are life.
Football is the best sport.
Football is life.
Yeah.
You know, it's an interesting topic. You had asked me about this yesterday, is just like a high level. And I was thinking about, you know, why is it that way? Like, why do people really gravitate so much to sports? And I want to be clear, not everyone does, right? It feels like a very polarizing topic. And I don't actually think the people that are very anti-sports, so you know what I'm talking about, the sports ball people?
Like, yeah.
They have to make the sports ball joke every time.
Right.
I don't think that they have anything really against sports. I think they have, you know, a disalignment with the cultural way that we approach and use sports. In business, people use sports metaphors to describe everything that's ever happened. You know, there's like this mix of like war in sports to talk about every, we're going to charge the hill or you're going to carry the ball down the field, like those kind of things that people gravitate toward. As they describe things. And I think that's really off-putting to someone that doesn't see that as important or the significance of that as important. And oftentimes what they really don't like is what we have done as a society to make sports the center of all the things that are happening. And so I want to start there because I think that that informs the second part of what and why sports are so popular, which is that life is actually quite boring.
You're not wrong.
It is.
You're not wrong.
For most people, we don't have millions of dollars sitting around. We don't drive our Ferraris into the hotel in Beverly Hills and have a cocktail with our friends. We get up in the morning. Some of us have kids. We take them to school. You go to work. You put in your 9, 10, 11 hours, add your commute to the story. You get back home. You make dinner. Hopefully, you get to work out for 30 minutes, and then you have a choice. You got 2 hours left in your day. 10 minutes if you're a mirror because you have to go to bed at 7:30, I know. But
You're getting better.
You are. Actually, it's weird. You actually stay up a little bit later now. It's kind of odd. Your old age is going the other way.
Yeah.
And then what do, right? Like, you might watch a TV show. You find some form of entertainment. Maybe you play a video game or you turn on sports. And the truth is, I'm going to start with TV because I think that's the counter to this and the cause of why sports are so important. You watch a lot of shows, right? You have a lot that you really enjoy. When you look for a TV show, what are you looking for?
Engaging, exciting, mysterious. It's got to have a good storyline, a good plot, something that keeps me on the edge of my seat. Makes me laugh, makes me cry, makes me scream and shout, but really just something that plays to the emotions that is fun to watch. And, you know, if I know the outcome, it's not as fun. It's not as exciting, right? So it has to have some level of mystery and suspense and drama associated with it.
Okay, so some people are happy to put on a show that they've seen 1,000 times. They just like Seinfeld. They like Friends. And they just put it on and they watch it for the 1,000th time. Are you that person?
Sometimes. I do that if I want background noise.
Okay.
Right. So if I'm sitting on the couch, for example, editing this show and I just want something on in the background, I might throw on repeat of Friends because I've seen them all and I just, you know, something that's just there.
Right. We call these people baseball fans.
Yeah. I was going to say, I also do that with baseball or golf. If it's,
I think I'm not trying to like extend the metaphor here, but I do think that that's the same thing that people that like sports are into, which is, you know, you look for a TV show or a movie that captivates you, that gives you something surprising, that's interesting, takes your attention. The challenge is there's not that many different things or different stories that can be told. And I don't mean that we're running out and every show's a redundancy of the other, but I do mean that like there's nothing that feels like it's so original that we've never seen anything like it. Most of the time when a show or a movie starts, for me, I kind of have a general idea of where we're going. Now, it may not be exactly where I think, and there's oftentimes like a really great twist or movement, but generally speaking, like, oh, this is going to be a drama. We're going to probably have some emotional dissonance between these two characters. There'll probably be a little love story over here. This person will be funny. This person you think is good, but they're actually bad, and that's actually the antagonist, right? Like, that there's a narrative form that kind of happens in any good book, any good TV show. And it doesn't mean that they're bad. I read lots of books, and I watch good movies, and I like them. I think with sports, the thing that makes it special is that 80% of the time, it is exactly that same thing. This team is better. They move the ball better. They rebound better. They're going to win the game. But then every once in a while, you just have these beautiful, unscripted moments where a 9 seed in Florida Atlantic in the March Madness tournament, or, you know, one of my favorite memories, and I'll never forget it because I think it encapsulates what I feel about sports. I used to own a card shop, and we were there. We were going to go to the movies, and so I ran home to grab something. And I ran in my bedroom, and for whatever reason, I was only going to be there for 5 minutes, but I turned on the TV, and there was a Rockets game on. So the Houston Rockets, you know, they weren't very good back then, but they were okay. They were playing the Spurs, and there's like, I don't know, maybe a minute left. I really don't remember the exact numbers. But I, you know, we were losing. It was over. Game's over. I think we were down 9 or something. And do you know the 51 seconds I'm talking about? Tracy McGrady?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. I watched that live. I didn't see that on SportsCenter later. I sat on a couch in my room and watched this superhuman sequence of events as Tracy McGrady annihilates the Spurs and goes yo, like just absolutely crazy, and wins this game. And like, there's something so visceral about the unexpected nature of that. And then the storylines that go with that. Michael Jordan, you know, hugging the NBA Finals trophy right on Father's Day, right after his dad had just died. Like these really touching moments that are just really hard to explain. And if you put them in a movie, they'd feel corny. Think, you know, the Tiger Woods redemption story, right? Winning the Masters, you know, with no felt like no leg as he's kind of, you know, limping his way through Augusta. And there's this thing, you know, that you can't put into words about like how that makes you feel. And for me with sports, I'm not the guy that's going to go watch hockey tonight. I think any sport's pretty good in the playoffs. I'll argue that, kind of take any sport, like them or don't like. I don't like baseball that much, but World Series, sure. Yeah, I'm going to watch that. Like the drama of sports is something that's really hard to replicate. But then there's a second piece. So I think humans like that, and that's really important. But sports is often something we do with people. And that's a very different thing, because you and I aren't going to watch The Mandalorian together. I don't know where you are in the season. I don't know if you're watching the show. I don't know if you like the show. What are you going to do? Talk about it in the middle of the show? Like, with the exception of like Survivor, The Bachelor, and a few other things that people have made into kind of communal events, most TV you do alone. But I remember in 2004, in April, being in Los Angeles, California with you, sitting in a hotel lobby, watching as Tiger Woods is about to make this chip shot that freezes on the Nike logo and drops in one of those famous chips ever. And I vividly remember where we were. Like, I remember, I'll never forget who I was with. I'll never forget what we were doing. I remember what you were wearing. That it's just so stuck in my mind because it's this like shared experience that we had.
Yeah.
That it's not like we were watching golf to root for Tiger or anything bigger than just it was exciting, right? I think therein lies the challenge of sports going into the next 20 years, which is as humans, and you know, movies do this all the time, right? You make the sequel to the Avengers and the third one and the fourth one. And by the eighth one, you have to actually destroy the Earth and explode it at the core for it to mean something anymore.
And, like, and I like think Fast 10.
Yeah, exactly. Is that a thing? Are they still doing that? Soon,
yeah.
Oh, God. Didn't the guy die? And they're just still making those movies?
I think.
Oh, God. They should stop. The problem is, in sports, you can't really make the game. I mean, you can edit games. Obviously, this is something commissioners need to do. Baseball just did this. I'm actually convinced this season's going to be way better because of some of the rules they just made. But you can't create drama that isn't there.
Right.
Like, if Mahomes doesn't make those, you know, crazy drives at the end of the Super Bowl and come back, then that's the Patriots Super Bowl from 3 years ago where they got stomped on by Philly and it's just crappy, right? Like, you can't force that to happen. You can only hope that's going to happen, which makes for a really interesting challenge for advertisers and for, you know, anyone that's in this field of, like, how do we make this interesting? So what I worry about is they know that, so you ratchet up the drama in a different way. You do that through the Full Swing documentary, through the Drive to Survive documentary, through Hard Knocks. You do that through free agency. You do that through coverage, through what you get your players to do in contracts. And, like, that's where it worries me a little bit, because I think that mix and gambling is a pretty toxic kind of attention-grabbing version of sports.
Yeah.
And I like sports in my life the way I remember it in the early 2000s, you know, kind of late 90s version, which is I remember sitting down to watch the Bulls win the NBA Finals, but I don't remember 40 hours of coverage before and after.
Right.
And I'm a little worried now because I, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts, right? Like, I'm worried that there's some times where I'm hearing the seventh time someone's had an opinion about whether Embiid or Jokic should win the MVP, and then it's a racism issue, and then it's a, and you just keep going further and further down this, like, attention, look at us do, you know, world. And I actually find myself becoming those sports ball people and saying, yeah, sports are life, but I also have a life, and I don't have time to, like, let sports be the only thing in my life. I like it to be a great movie. And I don't like it to be the only thing that's happening in my life. It's not the Truman Show for me. It's got to be a great movie. And I hope that that balance won't go away. But I do fear a little bit of that over the last couple of years and how it's gone.
Yeah, I think, you know, you hit a couple things right on the head when you talked about the reason why sports is life. I think about the memories and the stuff that really stick out to me. And there's a few. There's a few moments. I remember almost everything related to Michael Jordan in the playoffs, yep. Right? I remember my earliest Super Bowl memory was watching the Niners and the Bengals in the Super Bowl with Steve Young, and the Niners just destroyed them. And that's, you know, at 10 years old, that's how I became a Niners fan. And that's why when I was a kid, I grew up as a Niners fan, which is also why I wasn't a Cowboys fan, because of rivalry. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Michigan, and one of my favorite, most memorable sports commercials of all time was an ESPN commercial where there's a guy and a girl sitting on the couch, their boyfriend and girlfriend, and they're, you know, they're cuddling, watching TV, and he's wearing a Michigan sweater and she's wearing an Ohio State sweater, and it just says, without sports, this wouldn't be disgusting. And that's, and if you know, you know, right?
That's
but
good.
It is the emotions, and I think, I never thought of it that way, but you're right. It is the ultimate TV show. It's the ultimate movie. It's the thing that you can't predict. It's 28 unanswered points in the Super Bowl, right? To come back and win another ring, unpredictable, that just makes it amazing. And it is kind of sad to see how companies are trying to market and capitalize and basically squeeze every drop out of sports to the point where it kind of loses its magic,
yeah,
and its flair. I do like those shows. I love Hard Knocks. Every year that I've watched Hard Knocks, I find myself inherently rooting for that team in the season.
It's not that I think any of those individually are bad.
Collectively, overall,
what I'm hoping for is a thing that I'll never be able to get. There's two things that I hope for. First off, you know, from just an equality and inclusion standpoint, I hope that anyone listening to this, if you're at work and you find yourself making sports metaphors or opening every call with who won last night, just stop. Not everyone cares about your home team. Just do that
especially
with the
Cowboys
person
fans
that does care. And don't do it with everyone else. I'm going to give three things. Two, when you are friends with someone that's a fan of a team and they lose, you don't have to text him right after. It's not actually like cute. It's you're just an asshole. Like it's it doesn't make you like funny. Like it, and it's we and I get it. I'm a fan of a lot of public teams because I'm a fan of everyone who was good in 94 because that's how I you know I grew up in a town with no teams, right? So that's how I picked all my teams. But there's this like weird thing people need to do where they've got to be better, but then they don't mind insulting anyone else. I'm sure I do it too. Don't do that. Three, like I just want sports to have their place as what they are. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you're on a podcast, if you're listening to a podcast and you're getting in the weeds of, is this person faking a knee injury so their team can lose three more games to get a draft pick? Like these are actual humans that yes, they get paid millions of dollars, but their careers are typically 2, 3, 4 years. LeBron's the anomaly. That's right. Not normal. Most people are going to do this thing that, you know, 5,000 people in the history of the world have ever done. They're going to do it for 3 total years, and they're probably going to be broke 10 years later because they have a whole bunch of friends taking advantage of them. And so I hope that we don't lose our humanity in that and understanding that what these feats are, like, it's not supposed to keep getting higher and higher and higher. Tiger isn't a failure if he doesn't pass Jack. Like, LeBron doesn't have to win 7 titles to be an incredible basketball player or the best all-time. And by the way, we'll never know who the best all-time was anyway. So I love a good debate, and I think they're fun. I've engaged you in many a sports debate. Mm-hmm. I think that they're good to do. But I do think we should always aspire to remember the humanity of this, of I want Milwaukee to not win the title this year, but I'm not actually rooting for Giannis to hurt himself.
Right.
That's not a thing I want. And sports hate's fine. I can hate Michigan State because they eliminate Duke from the tournament every year. But like... that, there's a difference between that and then making it personal about what people are doing. And they you know, intentionally lost that game to cost you your bet on FanDuel. Friends, that didn't happen. So to take a breath, and like any movie, it's okay for the Star Wars movie to come out and not be that good. It doesn't have to win an Oscar. It can actually just be marginally entertaining, and you gave them 10 whole dollars. You weren't ruined. Your child isn't robbed. You don't owe a blog post. Like, you're out $10. You're going to make it. Same for sports.
Fair enough.
That's the skinny.